There we go. All right, and as they make their way out, you can grab your Bible, which I trust you have with you, good old-fashioned paper Bible, still the best, I believe. No condemnation for those of you using electronic devices. I just find them distracting, yes, and midway through the sermon, you might be getting a text or an email, or and then you all go off somewhere else. And so I do believe good old-fashioned Bible is a good thing to use. And that we should be skilled in using the Bible. So I hope you find that part of the exercise here at Three Mile Cross. We look at the Bible, we go to various places. And on top of that, my friends, it's on you. Not just for us to sit there and just receive everything and think that's it for me now. No, we've got to go back and we've got to go search the scriptures. Be good Bereans and see if those things are really so, in case I'm lying to you. Okay? I know where the Bible says, he who teaches the word of God will be judged more strictly. So I would appreciate your help that if I get it wrong, you come and tell me, yes? And you tell the preacher that we should need to be able to check the word for ourselves, and there's a skill in that, and it gives us a desire to get into God's word. So I want to encourage you with that, my friends. Never become lazy when it comes to studying God's word. Amen? Never become lazy. Make sure that you make time to spend time, your own time, with the Lord in the Word. So we're going to turn to John chapter 1 this morning, and the title this morning is just, The Word Became Flesh. The Word Became Flesh. John chapter 1. Now, if you were here last week, I really believe the Lord has highlighted to me that message about the words that Jesus would speak. He who has an ear, let him hear. And in Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And Tuesday night, for the few of us that were here again, we elaborated on that and gone a bit deeper. And there was a helpful word as well. I think Mary brought about, you know, not just being hearing, but doing the word of God, being obedient. Yes, so it's all about us hearing and not just through our ear canals. I hope we know that this morning, that word shema or shema is taking it in. It's a full obedience. It is heeding the word of God. And Jesus spoke this time and time again, even in his parables. He who has an ear, let him hear. Let him hear. And there's so much as we see in the word of God about hearing. And this very word, word, if you like, implies something that we are to hear. So let me just read those first few verses of John, this famous gospel of John. And he starts off by saying, in the beginning was the Word. And I hope your Bible has a capital W there, okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Let me just pray for us, and then we'll look into a few things as the Lord leads us. Amen. So, Father, we thank you, and we recognize as we come to your word that it is indeed your word. The word from the highest throne. There is no higher authority from which these words come. And I pray this morning, my Lord, as a church, we would be alert. And we would truly hear what it is you are saying to us, Lord, because only you know where we're all at today. You know what struggles there is here today. You know what battle we are going through, even in our minds and our personal lives, whatever it may be. And I know you want to speak to each and every one of us. Oh, Lord, help us to open our hearts. Lord, not to look at our neighbor to the left or to the right this morning, but to allow you to do a deep examination of ourselves personally this morning, and that your word would truly, Lord, find us out and examine us this morning. We ask in the precious name of Jesus. I pray that you help me this morning to deliver that which I believe you want to say to the church this morning. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. How many times have we heard these words? John chapter 1. I'm sure a vast majority of us, I hope, would be able to quote these very words in whatever translation you would have learned them. It is one of the most quoted passages in the Bible, rightly so. John's Gospel particularly being picked on, the most quoted verse in the Bible. Who knows what that is? Anybody know? What's the most famous verse? Most unbelievers can even quote. John 3:16, yes. And you can all quote that one, I hope. John 3:16, you can have a look at it in case you've forgotten, yes. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." My friends, many unbelievers can even quote that scripture verse. Isn't that amazing? That to me says something really amazing about our God. Those words have echoed throughout the ages so that we are without excuse. And so too with John chapter 1. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." What an amazing thing. But when you really begin to unpack it, it can become quite complicated. But there's something very important that we need to know about John. So we've got Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And for those of you that have done some theological studies, they talk about them perhaps in common. You would have heard of the synoptic gospels. Yes, we heard of that phrase before, that word synoptic gospels. You might have bumped into it. But it really means seeing it together. But John's gospel stands almost apart. Also because he wrote it much later, much, much, much later than the other guys. And for a lot of ways, we think about these four gospels as the four gospels, which they are. But I think a better way of understanding them is the fourfold gospel, because they are just one. There is only one gospel, the gospel of peace, and they're all telling the same story. They're all pointing to the same person, our redemption, our Lord Jesus Christ, all about him from beginning to end. And John has this amazing privilege, if you like, from writing at a later stage in his life, when the other gospels have gone out, and he can write about the deity of Jesus. He wants us, and he wants all his hearers to understand who this man is. He's not just a prophet, as some religions want to teach us. He was not just a good man. He is the Son of God. He was very God in the flesh. And this is how he starts his gospel. Now, for any of us that have read the Bible, and I hope you have, where do we start? We start in the beginning, okay, in the book of Genesis. And if you have forgotten what the first words of the Bible are, you can turn back there. And when was the last time you turned to the book of Genesis? Yeah, good. How does the book of Genesis start? In the beginning. The book of beginnings. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So I know, we can be absolutely sure this morning, when John picked those words under the anointing of the Holy Spirit as he wrote his gospel, he started off with, "In the beginning." Almost all his hearers or readers at the time would have already, "God created the heavens and the earth," already fill in the gap. Because that's what they've heard so many times, as we have. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he did. But John says, "In the beginning was the Word." What? "And the Word was with God, and the Word was God." Now, this is, if you go read the people that have commented on this and done the studies throughout the ages, my friends, you know, you and I are so far down the timeline, and people have studied the Bible for so many years before us, and there have been some great, great teachers and Bible teachers and scholars of the ages, my friends, and they didn't have Google, they didn't have Blue Letter Bible or Logos or all the stuff that we use today. Yeah, they had all the books out. They're sitting there in prayer, and some of the stuff that they, you know, come out with, and the things that have been passed down, we're so indebted to some of these people throughout the years that have faithfully taught the Word of God, and we are so privileged to be able to look back with care on those good scholars and all the things that they've said throughout the ages. You know, and they will all say that back in the day, John's day, this word, logos, is the Greek word, okay? We have the English word, word, which can mean a number of things. But that word logos is obviously a lot more in depth, as the Greek language was, the Hebrew language, the languages of the day. And the people back in John's day would have understood this concept probably a little bit better than we, average person today in modern world today, would when we use the word. And if you go to somebody and say to them, you know, in the beginning was the Logos and the Logos was with God, they look at you and say, what are you on about? Yet it's one of the most quoted scriptures in the Bible. So what is this concept of the word? You know, in the early years, they believe, a lot of scholars believe, it was this idea, if you like, of ultimate reason. This was the thing that people were grappling with. What was at the beginning? How did it all come to pass? Where did we all come from? Isn't this still questions that people ask today? And then we tell them we creeped out of the ocean and we evolved into all kinds of stuff. Where did it all start? Where did the spark of life come from? What is this ultimate reason for our existence and everything that we see? And so back in the day, in John's day, they tell us this is what people were grappling with. And so when John wrote like this, they would have understood what he's trying to get at. And this ultimate reason, if you like to expand that even more, because in the Hebrew mindset, whenever they hear the word or logos, like it in the Hebrew language, if you like, logos is a Greek word, they would immediately link that with the word of God and linked with God. And so it's not just an ultimate reason, like an idea. This is like a word in action. And we see the great power and authority that John is putting in a few words here. When it takes our minds right back, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. No doubt, in Hebrew, in Jewish mindset, they understood who the Creator is. He is none other than God, our Father in heaven. So now John is trying to help us all understand. We're doing a bit of Christology this morning, a study of Jesus, okay? In the beginning was the Word, it was the Logos, and the Logos was with God. And he doesn't just leave it there, and the Logos was God. What are you saying, John? He was in the beginning with God. And then in verse 3, all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. Nothing. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, cannot overcome it. Remember back in Genesis again, what did God say? Let there be light. And there was light. What an awesome picture that creates in our mind. John is now helping us all to understand that all of that power, all of that authority is centered in this person, God's very Son, who came into this world. And this is so awesome. And if you skip down to verse 14, and in verse 6 to 13, you can read that. It talks about John, the witness to this true light, talking about John the Baptist. So please don't ignore these passages. Go back and read them for yourself. But just for sake of time, we go down to verse 14. Again, we should know these verses so well. And he says, and the Word, in case we doubt, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John, he's talking about John the Baptist here. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness, we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. There can be no doubt who the word is that John is referring to. No one, verse 18, has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. John sets up his gospel so that there is no doubt in anybody's mind. From the signs, you know, John only records seven signs, miracles we call them. He calls them signs. He picked those under the leading and anointing of the Holy Spirit to show forth and prove to his hearers and to all of us here that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, very God in the flesh. And there can be no doubt about who he is, the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so when we come together as a church, we need to understand a little bit more what that means. What is the church? We're the ecclesia. We're the called out ones. We are described as the body of Christ. And hopefully we'll begin to see a little bit more. Please turn with me back to Proverbs chapter 8. I just want to point something out here, just in terms of creation. Proverbs chapter 8. And we can see this word in action, the great power and authority, and who Jesus is. And if you read Proverbs, and if you've never read it, please, my friends, you've got to get into the book of Proverbs, book of wisdom, speaking about getting wisdom. Yes, fear of God is the beginning of wisdom, recognizing that there is a God, fearing God in that healthy state, recognizing I'm accountable, I'm answerable to a God. My friend, that's the very beginning of wisdom. If you don't have that, you are an utter fool, according to the Bible. If you don't believe in a God, you're a fool. The Bible says that. And so there's great emphasis on this excellence of wisdom. And here we see wisdom, as it were, being personified. And many that have read this have understood and see something of Jesus here. Let's pick it up from verse 22, please. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 22. I'll read down to 31, then we'll look at a few things. It says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of his way, before his works of old. I have been established from everlasting, from the beginning, before there was ever an earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth, and there were no fountains abounding with water. Before the mountains were settled, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet he had not made the earth or the fields, or the primal dust of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he established the clouds above, when he strengthened the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him as a master craftsman. And I was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And my delight was in the sons of men." My friends, you can go read that in context. It's talking about wisdom. And so in no way can we read that the Lord possessed me in the way that Jesus had a beginning, if you like. No, he was always there is the idea. He was there from everlasting to everlasting. Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. But here we see something about, you've heard people preach and they say Jesus is the agent of God's creation. Yeah? It's through Jesus that God created the heavens and the earth. If you want, quickly flip over to me, 1 Colossians 16, just for you to establish this in your mind, and also Hebrews 1 verse 2. You can make a note of it if you can't find it. Colossians 1 verse 16, I'll read it to you quickly. Paul says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him." No doubt in our minds, talking about Jesus. For in him the fullness of the Godhead dwelt bodily, is the point that he's making, and he's the reconciliation. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 2, we read it the other day. Last week, remember, God at various times, in various ways, spoke in the time past to the fathers by the prophets, but as in these last days, verse 2, spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Our Jesus, the creator of the heavens and the earth, under the authority and the loving care and oversight, if you like, of his Father in heaven, the master craftsman, was there. My friend, this Word, who was always there with God, and indeed this Word that is God, this Word has become flesh. One of us. This, if we don't get a little bit more of that this morning, is going to puzzle us, I believe, and bring us to our knees. And when I read in the new, in the book of Revelation, when they cast down their crowns, even in glory, before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, I suspect that it's at these moments when we just again contemplate and think about what he has done for us so that we may be saved. And we cannot but throw down our crowns. We don't deserve. We are not worthy, my Lord, that you should come into this world and save me out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. And John makes this point, my friends. We've received from him grace and truth. The law came through Moses, showing us something of God's righteousness and his high standards, only for us to realize time and time again, we cannot reach God's high standards. We have all sinned and we have fallen short of God's glory. Every single one of us, Paul tells us in the book of Romans. There's not one of us that can earn our salvation and can say, there we go, I did it. I did it my way. Number one song at funerals today. Do you know that? I did it my way. I'm sure when they're standing on the other side and they're thinking, oh my goodness, I left that song in my will to play at my funeral. Please send somebody to delete that song, because they'd be so embarrassed to stand before the King of Kings and say, I did it my way. By his grace and his mercy. My friends, when we read those scriptures like John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. It wasn't because he was looking down on the earth and thinking, look at these good little people there. No. There were none righteous, not one, the Bible says. Not even looking for him. But God in his love and his grace and his mercy sent his Son, his righteous Son, his only Son, to pay for our sins. And isn't this amazing? When he prepared the heavens, I was there. Jesus was there, the master craftsman, overseeing and a very agent, if you like, this power, this word of God, performing all the things that God would have him do. And it's just amazing when you even look around at the fallen state of the world today, my friends, and you marvel at the beauty. You marvel at life. I've shared it many times before. I had a good friend I worked with years ago. Was not quite there in his faith and his belief, but the minute his wife fell pregnant, he saw that scan. You know these scans we're privileged to see now? In very great detail, you see that little life form there. My friends, he was broken and moved to tears and came to work and said to me, no one can ever tell me that there is no God. Because he witnessed something of life and he realizes, where is this ultimate reason? Where does this all come from? And here we see this very word was the life. Life was in him. He was the light of men. He's the very source. In him we live and breathe. And we have our very being. Whether you accept Jesus or not, he's the very reason you and I are alive right now. And in his grace and his mercy, he's extending this ongoing invitation of grace, of his life that was laid down for us. Don't delay, my friends. If you've been sitting on this, I can only urge you as much as I can within my physical body, okay? Do not delay. Because today may be your last, maybe my last. And it is appointed for man once to die, and then the judgment. And whether you believed or not, you will stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the heavens. Jesus was there. Everything was made for him and through him. It is an awesome, awesome thing to try and get your head around. I invite you to try. You will never get to the depths within these human minds of ours. All things created by him and for him. And in verse 30, it says there, Proverbs 8, I was beside him as a master craftsman, and I was daily his delight. My friends, a father delights in his son. Any dad here today will know the pride in our hearts for our children, yes? When they do well, when they exceed, when they have another milestone, even when they fail and they pick themselves up, and there's a pride in our hearts, a joy. We delight in our children. How his father daily, he was daily, Jesus was daily his delight, rejoicing always before him. Joy. I can imagine the great joy as God created the heavens and the earth through Jesus and all the animals and the creatures, even today that we marvel at. My friends, I love a giraffe. I don't know why I'm so intrigued by a giraffe. And if you ever go to Africa, you just sit there for an hour and just watch a giraffe. Okay. They just amaze me that God would make these creatures. And to see them adapt. I don't believe in evolution. I believe in adaptation. How they adapt to different climates and environments over the years. And all these amazing things God has built into our genetics. And it's amazing, my friends. Go read Psalm 139. Let it blow your mind again. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even in the very inward parts of the womb, you were knit together under the watchful eye of our master craftsman. And that is why it's such a lie, young people, particularly. If you think, I'm just an oops, I'm just a mistake, I shouldn't be here. What a lie. Don't ever accept that lie. No, he has a plan and a purpose for you. He watched every moment of how you were knit together. Every inward part, every last detail. That's why it could say things in the Bible like, he knows how many hairs are on your head. You don't know that, I don't know that. You might think you have no hair, they might be. And he knows about them. He knows everything about you. And that is why we can relate to him and come to him in prayer, my friends. And the great, astonishing, astonishing miracle, like I say over and over, what John is highlighting in his gospel here is this word, this logos, this ultimate reason, this word in action with great power and authority that created the very heavens and the earth, became flesh. And dwelt among us. In a time in history, the creator of the heavens and the earth walked upon the very planet he created. Dragged him up, or he had to carry his own cross, up on a hill that he created to suffer the blows and the hatred and the rejection of those he created and loves with an undying love. And God rejoiced in him. Let's read verse 32 of Proverbs chapter 8. I hope you know with me. Whenever we bump into those words, famous words in the Bible, it says, therefore, or now therefore, that we take heed. So in light of all this, my friends, wisdom personified, if you like, clear picture to me here of Jesus, God the Father, power of the Holy Spirit, all working together in perfect unity in creation. In the last part of verse 31, it says, "In my delight." So God rejoices in his Son. Verse 31, rejoicing in his inhabited world. And then last part of verse 31 says, "And my delight was with the sons of men." Go study Adam and Eve, God's creation, before the fall. Now therefore, verse 32. Listen to me, my children. I don't know how to emphasize those words more to us this morning, okay? It's burning within my heart as I stand right here, okay? The Lord is saying to each and every one of us, I know this without a shadow of a doubt. And he's saying this to me. Will you listen? Will you hear? He who has an ear. How many times must Jesus say this to us? He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. And even here in Proverbs 8:32, okay. Now therefore, listen to me, my children. For blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not disdain it. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. And those who hate me love death. God said even in the Old Testament, right at the beginning, I have set before you life and death. But what was God's desire? Choose life. Okay? Very fundamental statement that we need to understand. Those are the two options. It's not some automated, you're going to end up in one of the others. No, we've got to choose. And when I study the Bible, even in my reduced capacity as a human being, I see something of these higher powers speaking in the words on the pages. That just, you'd think, no human being could have thought these things up. And when I read about creation and God's love and the things that we're reading now, and we see this relationship, okay, even between the Father and the Son, and God, when he created all those powerful angels, he didn't make them autonomous robots. They had free will, because free will is vital for love. Love cannot exist without free will, as far as I'm concerned. I can force my wife to love me. I can put a gun to her head and say, you will love this specimen of a being here. And you will cook all the things I want. And you will do it with a smile. But my friends, if I know it's not in that heart there, it's dead. But if she does it because she loves me, I know that. There is something very profound about that very human thing that God's built into us. Love and relationship. And Jesus says that you love one another as I have loved you. By this will all men know that you are my disciples. That you have love one for another. Free will. Sort out your issues. Forgive one another. Sort out the grumbling and the complaining. Don't grumble against one another. Stop having evil suspicions of one another. Sort things out. For whoever finds me, in this context in Proverbs 8, speaking of wisdom, but I believe we can place our Jesus there, as he is the wisdom of God, tells us in the Bible. Whoever finds me finds life. In him was the life. The life, he is the light of men. And this great light has come into this world, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Cannot comprehend it. I mean, we can go study this in our science books, okay? Light expels darkness. It's gone. Smallest little candle in a room doesn't diminish because there's more darkness. The darkness just goes. Yes, cannot overcome. The darkness cannot overcome the light. But whoever finds me, my friends, you need to seek him. You need to seek wisdom. You need to keep knocking. You need to keep asking. You need to keep pursuing him. Pursue God. Is it that late A.W. Tozer wrote, in the pursuit of God? Yes, pressing on, wanting more. Say, Lord, I want to know you more. And when I know, I want to know you even more. Because whoever finds him finds life. True life. Jesus said, I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly. Not just the life you live here now. Dave reminded us last week in the beginning of the worship that eternal life begins at when you are born again. You have eternal life. And you are now beginning the process, if you like, training for reigning. Being with Jesus. So everything post your conversion, post you being born again, every trial, every tribulation, every difficulty you go through under the authority of God's word, we are even told to rejoice in those things, to count it joy, because it is working in you something eternal. Whoever finds me finds life. He obtains favor from the Lord. Okay? If I die in my sins today, I've rejected Jesus. No, thank you, Jesus. I'm going to do it my way. And I live my life. I have my red Ferrari. I live my life and I'm happy. Okay? Joyful. And then I die. And I go stand before the creator of the heavens and the earth. My friends, there's no trying to work things out then, like, is this really real? Is it not? There's no debate going on then, okay? It's like, I know, it's like I'm there now. It's done. I'm done. I need to give an account. Will I find favor with the Lord? No. And which is why Jesus stressed, no one comes to the Father except through me. You and I cannot stand before the very Father in our fallen state. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. Jesus became the very curse, 2 Corinthians tells us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. My friends, hear these words this morning, okay? Therefore, listen to me. Listen is the plead. I want to implore you again as a church, okay? I want to say this as carefully and as lovingly as I can, because you and I are living in a time where there's information overload and abundance. And we are living in a social media crazy world today. And I see an attack, as it were, or an agenda of the enemy, my friend, worldwide, being no doubt ushered and, you know, we're looking at one world religion, one world order, all this stuff that the Bible talks about, eventually Antichrist, all that stuff that we know about and we talk about. But I see the church, if you like, so-called church, being swept up in this thing, becoming more and more globalized, more and more under one banner, okay, more and more tolerant towards all kinds of things. And it's happening so rapidly because of social media and all the things that we're seeing and all the things, you know, and I'm thinking about this for myself. Every time something kicks off in the world or what happened in Israel or in Ukraine or you see things happening in other, we immediately want to run to people that we know. What are their comments? And they'll keep churning out the videos and keep churning out the videos because they keep getting the views. And there's an expectation on them. And I start thinking, I'm putting myself in their shoes. I'm thinking, Lord, I've got to be so sure if I'm in that position that I hear from you at every moment. Because the minute I get something wrong, I am leading thousands of people astray. Do you see this with me this morning? And I believe this is a warning of the Lord for each and every one of us. Again, be careful who you listen to. I'm not saying don't listen to people out there. What I'm saying is train your ear. Your ear to hear what the Spirit is saying. You and I should be able to sit. Any preacher could come in here, no matter how famous they may be, and our ears will prick up and say, no way, hang on a minute. That's not the Word of God. Something's off there. You and I need to train our ears. I think this is so important. Therefore, listen to me. Listen to me. You know, we won't have time to look into it, but when Jesus preached that Sermon on the Mount, and towards the end of Matthew 7, verse 28 and 29, you can make a note of it. It says, they marveled. They marveled because Jesus spoke as one who has authority. All the scribes and the Pharisees and the scholars of the day would just say what that one would say and this one would say and all the various arguments and the debates and everything. Jesus came, the Word of God, very God in the flesh. And therefore, they marveled that he spoke as one who has authority. Why? Because he has authority, okay? He is the creator of the heavens and the earth. There is no higher authority. And I would have loved to have been, you know, zapped back in time, if that were possible, just to sit on a hill, somebody, to watch and see people's faces when they're trying to figure out, this man is speaking with such authority. Who does he, you know, and then they ask, who does he think he is? I'm like, hello? He's the creator of the heavens and the earth. And you're looking at him. For those that realize that, what a response. Think of Peter, eh? When he was on his boat and Jesus was calling the disciples and Jesus told them to cast the net and they get this humongous catch of fish. So much so others had to come and help them drag. And Peter immediately recognized what was going on. What was his response if you go read? Get away from me. I can't be in your presence. I'm a sinful man. You recognized what you just did there. This is something too awesome for me. I can't be in your presence. And Jesus said to him, come, follow me. Listen to me, says Jesus. Follow me. Understand who he is. He spoke as one who has authority. My friends, what do we do in closing this morning? What do we do with these, can't call them grand ideas, but thoughts, these facts that you and I can go away and we can surely ponder them from morning till evening. And think about it. Meditate on it and chew. Wow. And then to still just sit in the exact same spot and never move anywhere. Remember the disciples when they came back, when Jesus sent them out? And they came back astonished. Jesus, the demons are fleeing in your name. The sick are healed. These amazing things are happening. They're amazed. You and I would be amazed. We'd be saying the exact same thing. Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like a lightning bolt, yeah, from heaven to earth. Tells them, don't rejoice over those things. Rejoice that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Yes, brilliant, miracles, wow, awesome. Jesus saying, there's a bigger picture here. Come on, come on. And he says to us, now all authority has been given to me, my friends. Again, try and wrap your head around this. All that happened on the cross. Just try and imagine in the spiritual realm what was happening. Satan and all his hordes as they're watching on. And this great victory is won at the cross. That now entrance has been made for all the sons of men on the earth. If they should choose. And then Jesus to say, now all authority has been given to me. Now I tell you, go and make disciples of the nations, baptizing them in the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. Yes, and signs and the wonders that will follow those who truly believe. So it seems to me the enemy can keep us just short of what we really can achieve under the authority and in the name of Jesus as his church. And I want to close with these verses. This is something amazing that Jesus said in John chapter 7, same gospel. John chapter 7. Now I want you to begin to think and ask yourself this question this morning. Where am I in my faith? Where am I, Lord? If this is all you've done for me, completely unmerited, as somebody prayed this morning, okay? What makes me different to the guy that's sitting in prison right now? And he got caught, okay? In God's eyes, we should all be there in prison, okay? We're all guilty. And we need to be saved. Where am I with my walk? What am I doing with this great calling that you have laid upon my life? Jesus spoke these words in John chapter 7, verse 37. Before he went to the cross, he says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out. Now, just picture this again, okay? The Word, ultimate reason, the Word of God in action. God in the flesh, there on the very dusty roads of Israel at that time, now stands up at the end of this feast and he cries out. My goodness, my friends, with a little bit of knowledge you and I have now, we would be there, like on our knees. What is he going to say? He cried out and he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart, or another translation may say your belly, okay? Out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. I'll leave that with us this morning to consider. Because there is a whole study here. If we've done a bit of Christology over the last few weeks, there is a whole area of pneumatology, if you like. That's the study of the things of the Holy Spirit. Because let me tell you now, when Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, how often we think, yeah, that's the end of it. Yes, sacrifice, been paid, atonement for our sins, finished, it's done. You and I don't have to go butcher any more animals at the altar, okay? Praise God. Jesus has paid for our sins. And when he proclaimed those words, even on the cross, it is finished. It is finished. That veil torn from top to bottom. Access has been made. Jesus rose from the dead, my friends, where he is even now, made a way for all those who believe in him afterwards to also rise from the dead. There is a resurrection coming. But go and read it through. It was also the beginning of a whole new chapter, if you like. The time of grace, the time of the church. Paul calls it the mystery, this great mystery that's been kept secret throughout the ages, the church of the living Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not talking about the Roman Catholic Church, okay? The church, the born again, blood washed, Spirit-filled church, because there was a day of Pentecost that Jesus had them wait for, because you are not going to be able to do it in your own strength, my beloved disciples, as much as you are full of zeal. You're going to fail. But go and wait until you receive this power from on high. And John tells us in verse 39, comments on what these words. So Jesus says, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. I don't understand how that transaction works. God knows. All I know is it was necessary. And it was to our advantage, as Jesus said, that I go to be with the Father, otherwise I cannot send the Helper. So something on the cross, my friends, not just paying for our sins, it opens so much more. And there is great authority in the name of Jesus, not in our own, in his name, that you and I have access to if we live a life by faith and humility and we listen to him. And I want to pray for each and every one of us this morning as a challenge, because maybe you started this year a little bit downcast, yes, because as we've heard, we always have our New Year's resolutions, and I'm pretty sure most of our New Year's resolutions from 2023 failed fairly quickly, okay? And we can feel discouraged. But this morning, and particularly in light of your walk with the Lord, maybe you look back and you say, Lord, I don't feel like I've progressed with you much over this last year. I've struggled. I don't seem to get over these stumbling stones. I want to just pray for us this morning, if that's you, okay? I don't want to have an altar call this morning. You know who you are. You just respond to the Lord where you are. And I'll lead us in a prayer. But that today will be a day. Say, Lord, I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm going to take your word. I'm going to go sit under a tree if it's not raining. Go sit in a quiet room. And I'm going to read your word. Teach me again to hear your voice in my life. I think we'd be astonished what the Lord would say to us. It might not be about some great grand thing happening in the world right now. It'd be something so personal to you. Because he knows even your most inward parts. Lord, we come before you this morning, knowing again we but scratch the surface of who you are and what you've done. A master craftsman. And here we are, your creatures. Made in your image. You loved us so. You love us so. Lord, how often do you have to say to us, listen to me. He who has an ear, let him hear. Just hear the words of truth. Lord, I pray that today we would hear your voice. Lord, where your voice has been pushed into the distance because we've made it everything else and the other. Today we want to repent. We want to push the pause button on everything, as it were. That reset button, as it were, this morning to come to you and say, Lord, we're sorry. You were there when we were even formed. In the womb. Watching. Shaping and molding. So we come back to you this morning, Lord. We come back to you as your children, as you say, therefore listen to me, my children. Lord, may we hear what you are saying to us as individuals, and then together, collectively, we would hear what the Spirit is saying to the church in this hour. And I pray, Lord, for every stumbling block here this morning, everything that weighs so heavy on us, Lord, I pray, as your word says, we would just cast those things unto you, roll them off unto you, because you care for us. Give us that heavenly perspective this morning. We know we're not going to get it from the world, Lord. And so I pray that our ears will be attentive when we come to you in your word and church, our Bible studies, our prayer groups, wherever you lead us together with other believers, Lord, that we would be so alert to hear what you say. And I pray, Lord, for those that are sitting here or even listening in, I don't know you. And we know that, Lord, your word says there is a sure judgment waiting after our death. And I pray that, Lord, that response will be made by faith and to receive life and light through salvation, new life in your name. And then I pray, Lord, as you spoke on that day when you cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and you will give us, Lord, rivers of living water gushing out from our very belly. Lord, I pray that we would come to you this morning, Lord, to receive what we know is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the fullness and the overflow of your Holy Spirit made possible because of your death, burial, and your resurrection. That we may be a church that is alive, full of life, and full of light. For the glory of your most precious name. Oh, Father, we bless you and we praise you. We say thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you lead us gently as a church into all that you have for us. Bless us even tonight as we gather together. Lord, may we never run ahead of you, even in things concerning your people Israel. Lord, may we never become arrogant and thinking we know it all. and we want to show the world, but Lord, that we would come in humility to bring forth that which you have delivered to us through your word. Keep us on the straight and narrow, I ask, Lord Jesus. Bless each and every one of us here and those listening and our families as we've sung today. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. And I will give you peace. Hallelujah. Lord, we thank you for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Dave,